Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How are you today, Cody?
Well, listeners are now sending me suggestions for how I answer this question. So, Margarita, thank you. I'm peachy
today. You're peachy. Yeah. Excellent. That's one we're not going to be using again. I mean, that's awesome. That's not a repetitious one. Good. How are you doing? Are you peachy today, Tracy?
I am so peachy. I'm awesome.
You're awesome.
I'm great.
How are you doing today, Matt? Matt nods his head.
He says peachy.
He says peachy in sign language. He's not on mic. All right. What's our topic today, Cody?
Hold yourself accountable.
That's right. Now, that sounds generic, though. But when we say hold yourself accountable, we're saying hold yourself accountable for holding others accountable. If you're a leader, or for that matter, a team member, or a parent, or a spouse, you need to hold yourself accountable for caring enough about the people you work with or who work for you to do what's one of the hardest things as a leader and a team member, and that's to hold them accountable. And this is the area where people, and it's a technical term, I know, wuss out the most in. I know I do too. And that is that moment where you know that person needs to be told something hard and that it's going to benefit them and the team. How often do I find some way to justify not doing it? Because it's just uncomfortable. And that's what we want to talk about today. The most important thing you can do in another person's life is hold them accountable.
Yeah, and we've covered some tangentially related topics around this, like different ways of saying, hey, you need to say that's not good enough or other things. But one of the things that the reason it keeps coming up is this is the thing that teams do worse more than any of the other five behaviors.
Yes.
This is what the, like Tracy.
Our team assessment. So we've got this team assessment based on the five dysfunctions of a team, and accountability for 17 years has been the lowest of the five dysfunctions.
Which is teams, not surprising.
Not surprising at all. Teams
we have
do not
hundreds
like
of thousands of data points, yep. And all of them point to the fact that people are bad at holding each other accountable.
Correct.
And when we do offsites and we talk to teams, we're like, hey, you guys got to trust each other. Like, oh, I could do that. That's a little harder than conflict. Oh, I don't love conflict, but yeah, okay. Commitment. Yeah, we got to commit. Accountable. Oh, I don't want to do that. Let's skip over that one.
Yeah.
Because the difference is conflict is saying, hey, I disagree with your idea. Accountability says, hey, that what you're doing isn't good enough, or I think you're better than that.
That's right. It's behavioral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing that's really kind of nuanced is some teams are actually pretty decent at holding people accountable for non-behavioral things like their numbers, right?
Right.
So it's easy to go, hey, you didn't hit your mark this. And some teams actually do the where they just want the top two of the pyramid and just go, hey, we didn't get our results. Who should we go fire?
You know, right.
Versus.
And I like to say, even the wussiest CEOs and leaders will hold somebody accountable. Hey, you didn't make your numbers three quarters in a row. I'm going to let you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's not courageous.
But that's not even what we're talking about. The thing that people are bad at, uniquely bad at, is going to that person and saying, here are the behaviors. Here's the way you're showing up. Because those results are downstream symptoms of inability to hold someone accountable for their behavior.
A lot of leaders will just rather wait to somebody to fail on paper or fail in delivering and go, hey, I like you and all, but I'm going to have to let you go, rather than actually confront them early on about the things they're doing behaviorally that will inevitably lead to those results. And the most important source of accountability is not actually the leader. Who is it, Cody?
Well, the most effective kind is peer-to-peer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We like to say that the leader has to be the ultimate source of accountability, but the primary and most frequent source of accountability are peers.
What you talk about, and this is true, is if the leader is unwilling to demonstrate the fact that they will hold people accountable, then no one on the team will.
Right.
But when the leader does, then other members of the team feel permission. Like I remember being on a basketball team in high school where our coach would hold us accountable. You know, one of them, well, I had a really, another coach who was terrible, but one of the coaches would hold us accountable. And what it bred was a culture of peer-to-peer accountability. So rather than need to go to the locker room, if I'm on the court with another team member and we're not giving it our all, a teammate comes up and says, hey, I need more from you. You didn't set that pick right, or you didn't run the play the right way.
You know, and I've never really thought about this, Cody, or talked about this, but you know why that is? Because who wants to be the one that goes up to somebody and says, hey, you need to do that better, and go in the locker room and have the coach say, you shouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. It's okay. He did a fine job. And now you're looking like a big J jerk. Mm-hmm. But when you know the coach is going to call him on it and you do it, you're just helping them So the coach doesn't have to do it all, and you know you have permission to do that.
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but if my peer is telling me, hey, you need to step up, I think that's way more effective, honestly, yeah. than even the leader totally. Doing it, because I don't want to let down my peer.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, there's one, that's like the formal versus moral authority. Like yeah. the leader has the formal authority. When someone who doesn't even have the formal mm-hmm. authority comes to you and says, hey, I need more from you, you're that's like, powerful. Oh man, I need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, but, and it's worth calling out that this is predicated on the other things. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have trust. Mm-hmm. If you have no trust with somebody and you go to hold them accountable, they're going to say, screw you.
Yeah.
And you know, and you've never had conflict and they haven't committed to things. So this is layered upon some other things, mm-hmm. but in the end, what you have to be willing to do is take that emotional relationship risk to say, you can do better. Mm-hmm. And the problem is near term versus medium term. Mm-hmm. In the near term, you might actually have a difficult moment with that person. Mm-hmm. Very soon, they're going to thank you. They're going to appreciate you. We were talking about this before the podcast. Think about all the times we have held each other accountable. And within minutes, maybe a few hours, it might be the next day, we're like, thank you for caring enough to do that, even though I wasn't too happy when you did it. Mm-hmm. But if you're going for short-term approval, you're going to go, no, I'm not going to tell them that.
Right.
And then the interesting thing is, soon enough, they're going to stop respecting you or appreciating you. It's like the teachers I had in school that made me mad because they made me do more homework, mm-hmm. or the coaches that made me do that extra interval or held me accountable for shooting more free throws. Very soon, I was like, you rock. You cared enough about me. Yeah. But in the moment, I was like, oh man, I can't believe he's going to make us keep running.
Yeah. No, it's totally true. If you think back to the teachers, the ones that stand out are the ones that actually pushed you harder, challenged your behavior, told you to bring more. You don't actually recall or remember any of the ones that sort of let you slack.
No. I go back and the teachers that I can go through, like, I remember, like, in fourth grade, I had the hardest teacher. To this day, I know that she had a more important, my sixth grade teacher, my fifth grade teacher, she made us do nothing.
Yeah.
I am frustrated at her because later on, I suffered for that in class. Like, why didn't I learn this? Oh, that was fifth grade. Yeah, yeah. At the time, we were like, yay, she'd leave us out at recess all day.
Yeah, because it's much easier that way. You talk about this as a leader, by not holding someone accountable, ultimately it's a selfish act.
Right.
Mm. What do you say about that, Pat? You say because you don't want to feel uncomfortable around them, right?
You're doing it for you.
That's right.
I saw Danny getting out of the car. Danny's daughter, McKenna, comes to work many days and works here because she was in school near here anyway. It's great. We love having her here. Is she 10?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
I couldn't remember if she had a 10th birthday or so. McKenna got out of the car today eating ice cream, and Danny said, ice cream for breakfast. I get the cool mom award. And we were joking about that, like, obviously. And even McKenna was like, yeah, I wouldn't want that every day.
No.
But there's a lot of parents out there that do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to be your friend and let you do what you want.
Right.
That's as tempting as that is. It's never good.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's helpful when we share some stories, like some anecdotes, because when we talk about, I imagine people are saying, like, what do you mean behaviors? What does it mean to hold someone accountable for their behaviors? Like, what does that actually look like? And we talked about a few stories earlier, one of whom is Alan Mulally, right? The guy who took over Ford. You tell that story.
Well, what I love about it is so Alan takes over the Ford Motor Company. Before he got there, they were dying. And even before they were about to go out of business, they were hemorrhaging money. I mean, nobody thought the American car companies were great. And working at Ford was better than the DMV. God bless everybody at the DMV, but not much. Mm-hmm. So he came there, and the first thing he did is he said, listen, our behaviors are going to change. He didn't go fire a bunch of people because of their numbers. He said, we're going to change our behaviors. And he was constantly confronting people about their behaviors, holding them accountable. Many people opted to stay. Mm-hmm. Some opted out. And he mm-hmm. was like, that's okay. The ones that opted to stay turned the company around, had the best time in their career. It changed who they were as people. It changed their career trajectory. They look back and they say, that guy made such a difference in my life. And it was all because he was willing to do things that benefited them and the organization, even if it made him temporarily unpopular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a great example.
I love his story when he tells it, like when he talks about they would sit down at the table and they would go through the green, yellow, or red of their scorecard, you know, and for weeks, the behavior that was learned there that needed to change was that everyone always said their area was green.
Yeah. Everything's fine over here.
Yeah. Don't look over here. We're fine.
My side of the boat's not sinking.
Yeah. And then finally he says, you guys, we're hemorrhaging billions of dollars. How are all these charts green? So the first guy that goes, he tells a story and he stands up and says, our area is red. And Alan started clapping.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what he sort of dramatizes it. He's like, they thought as soon as this guy showed a red color, they thought I was going to pull a little lever and the doors behind him would open up and someone would come take that guy out and you'd find him, you know, you'd never see him again. But instead, what he did is he clapped. And then the next meeting, he sat the guy right next to him as like a, they thought that that was going to push him away from the CEO. So it's just interesting. It's like a behavior that celebration of the fact that we can hold it. You know, he was changing the behavior. He kept telling people, you guys, you need to tell the truth. And finally he celebrated it.
You know, it's funny. I just thought about it. Accountability. Too many people think it's a source of punishment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's actually a source of
a gift.
Help.
Yeah.
Even love. We talk about that. You know, we talk about, it's actually kind to hold somebody accountable. And Cody, we've talked recently about kindness, the definition in the Bible.
Yeah, a listener actually sent this to me when we talked about kindness in an earlier podcast, is that when it's used in scripture, the actual translation is, when it says be kind, it says be useful.
Right.
You know?
So I'm like, oh, Tracy didn't do something well. I want to be kind to her. I know, I won't tell her.
Right.
No, that's actually unkind.
That's cruel.
Yeah.
It's cruel.
Well, yeah, because it sits with you and then it festers and it comes out in other ways, whether that's gossip or just our relationship in general. And that's not kind at all.
Not at all.
Well, and what's interesting is on the other side of that accountability is something really good. You know, like we've had moments in this office where it's like, oh man, that feels like it's going to be bad. On the other side, it's amazing. Yes. Once you actually hold someone accountable, you have those conversations, you get to better decisions, more things are out on the table. I mean, it changes everything.
Oh, it deepens your relationship and the teamwork here. It's crazy.
And yet, and teams can get used to doing it and it gets easier, no doubt.
Oh yeah.
But there will always be some discomfort. And there's always going to be that temptation to not hold myself accountable and let somebody off the hook because I'm really choosing to be popular in the moment rather than to make them a better person. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know something? And accountability is not a one-way street. It can go up the management chain too. Mm. And now if there's trust and all those things, I remember years ago before I started the company, I've told the story before, but I promoted somebody who was not a team player, but she got a lot done. And the people that worked for me, two of whom still work for me, I didn't fire the other one. She's still, you know, they came to me and said, hey, Pat, we got to tell you something. Yeah, what is it? You just promoted her. She's not a team player. That's not right.
Mm-hmm. So either you talk about this all the time.
Right. Either you should stop talking about that or you should change what you do.
Yeah.
That was behavioral accountability. Those people helped me in my career more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And think how much that they really stood out because they said, we care enough about you and about this team that we want you to do the right thing. They took that risk. And, you know, to this day, two of them still work here. And I mean, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crap. I'm not that old. So accountability is kindness. You know, that song, You Gotta Be Cruel to Be Kind. Who was that?
Oh gosh.
It's a great song.
He looked at me and gave me a gesture. I imagine this song is before my time.
Yes,
no?
Yes, it was. You're far too young for this song.
He's like, who is that? Is it Justin Bieber? If not,
Britney Spears. No, but I think what they really mean is you got to say things that seem cruel, but they're not in order to be kind.
Yeah.
And in the right measure, too, it says. You got to be cruel to be kind in the right measure.
And I think like the hold yourself accountable to hold others accountable. I mean, we had a personal story actually, Tracy's here, because not that long ago, about a month ago, I had that very thought. I thought, I am noticing a behavior that's not good for our company, that three people who are more tenured than me, two of them are founders. And I had to say, am I going to hold myself accountable to do this? And I brought all three of you guys into a room. And
it was an amazing conversation. And it was, I mean, it was slightly uncomfortable at first, and then we worked through it and now we're in a much better place.
Yeah.
So that was awesome.
It was scary.
Yeah.
But it also was in service of what we wanted to accomplish. Let's not make it more scary. Sometimes when you don't tell the story, it actually sounds like,
I think for other organizations, it would sound scary.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, what you said, you called them out for not being frank about not stepping up and speaking their mind.
Yeah.
That I mean, you were basically saying, you're not being honest. You guys aren't being courageous. You're not owning these things that you think. That could be perceived as a complete attack on their character. but you didn't, it didn't mean that way. You had trust with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's one of the,
you didn't walk to somebody on the street and go, hey, you know something? And,
come in here. I got something to tell you.
Yeah. This is my first day at work, but I don't think you guys are honest.
Yeah.
But the thing is, no, that actually had all the makings of a very, very problematic conversation, but you had to do it.
And what was, when I said earlier that like what's beyond that is something really good is once we had that conversation, I said, you guys need to throw everything on the table. Mm-hmm. And the only thing worse than not throwing everything on the table is saying that we put everything on the table and it not be 100% of everything.
Yeah.
And then we did, and it changed the nature of our company in some ways, because you guys said,
sure,
hey, here's what I'm feeling. I haven't been completely honest about what I need moving forward. And that's been amazing.
That's right. We would often describe our behavior, because this has been going on for years. You would say we would have pillow fights.
Yes. I would say iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
We're having pillow fights.
Yes. So yeah, use your swords, I guess.
Yeah.
That's there right. You know, I was just thinking of the words to that song, and I'm terrible. I'm a classic at getting those words to songs wrong. I'm singing them, and you know, I mean, people are like, that's not what they're saying. But that song goes, you got to be cruel to be kind in the right measure, cruel to be kind. The very design, I don't know what it is, but then they say cruel to be kind means that I love you.
Yes.
And then they say the most important thing, baby,
you've got to be cruel to be kind.
Yes. But yeah, and now I think about that, when you're a kid, you know, but it means that I love you.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a great.
The artist is Nick Lowe.
Well, I've never known that.
Familiar.
I would have thought it was like America or one of those.
I almost
seven
had actually. It.
No, I'm just kidding. Nick Lowe. Commercial for Nick Lowe
out there.
But the other thing I want to say about this is that, gosh, and I just blanked out because we're thinking about that song. Nick Lowe, who are you? You know, let's do another commercial though. Let's talk about an organization that really helped us.
Oh yeah. I wanted to give a shout out to, we've got this team assessment. I told you about it before.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
And this company called Creative Engine, it's a small technology company down in Southern California, created this assessment for us. So I wanted to give a shout out to Creative Engine, Brian Helms. They were partners with us for, gosh, 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing.
1E, creativeengine.com.
Yes, exactly. 1E.
Yeah.
Well, 1E in the middle. There's multiple E's. Yeah,
Brian Helms, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, here's the last thing I wanted to say. See, that's how this works. And you know, sometimes podcasts get edited. We like to get through one and our editor doesn't have to edit anything. And every once in a while they do, because Cody slips into an obscenity-laced tirade. but I like it when we don't know. We kind of get caught up in things.
Sure.
And so now I remember. And that is, I actually believe this thing, accountability. When an organization has people that hold themselves accountable, I think this is the key differentiator between good organizations and great ones. Mm-hmm. This is hard. Mm-hmm. But if you have a company where people will actually say things to one another that other people go, I can't believe you said that to them. Like, no, I care about them. I want them to get better. I really think this is the tipping point of that is a fantastic team. Mm-hmm. And remember, accountability is what leads to results. Mm-hmm. So the organizations that crank are the ones, you know what? I was just at a restaurant here. Here's another commercial for, there's this little restaurant in Lafayette where we are called Locanda Positano. It's this Italian restaurant. It is, every time anyone goes there, they're like, this is the best place I've ever been.
Yeah.
Every waiter, every staff, every busboy, the host, the people in the kitchen are just so friendly and they care and they make great food. And I stopped the guy, because this is what I do for a living. And I said, how do you keep a staff like this? I mean, here in California, people can't even find employees these days. And he said, you know, and how do you make them so consistent? Everybody who works here is like this. And he said, you know, when somebody doesn't act that way, we let them know, hey, this is the way we are. And if they don't fit, they say, yeah, I'm going to be held accountable. I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. Mm. And every employee there, like to a person, is like joyful. They help you. They love being there. They remember you. And so it is possible, even in a world where hiring is hard, even in a world where people might not seem to want to work hard, if they're held accountable, they're going to rise to the occasion and you're going to have fantastic organization. Mm-hmm. So, and it starts with accountability. I mean, maybe I should say it ends with accountability. Because you got to trust, you got to have conflict, you got to have a commitment. But man, do I love talking about this. So, you all did a fabulous job today on this podcast, I want to tell you. And if you didn't, I will let you know afterward. But yeah, no, this was great, you guys.
No, this was fun.
Yeah.
So we hope that everyone will hold themselves accountable as a leader, a friend, as a colleague, to holding others accountable. It will make all the difference. Thanks for joining us today on At the Table. Talk to you next time. God bless. You gotta be cruel to be kind in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, that's the very